Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Yeah, they do not like him in a car.
They don't like
him. They do not like him from afar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, just when you thought the whole cancel culture thing had gone about as far as it could have gone, they've gone after Dr. Seuss.
Mm.
And, you know, this is an author who a lot of people grew up with. I mean, who hasn't in the last three generations or whatever read Dr. Seuss books?
Yeah.
I mean, they were around when you were growing up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the only thing that that strikes me about Dr. Seuss and racism is the star-bellied Sneetch.
I remember that, but I don't remember anything about it.
It was just Sneetches were some kind of critter, and there were two kinds of them that didn't like each other because one of them had a star on their belly and the other one didn't.
Okay.
And it was just kind of an allegory for the stupidity of racism.
Right, so teaching against racism.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the first thing I thought of, too.
The star-bellied Sneetches.
I was like, they couldn't be canceling that, but you already read off the air the titles of the books, and they're not canceling that specific book.
Random House Books for Young Readers said it would continue to publish the best-known Seuss works, such as Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The San Diego-based Dr. Seuss Enterprises was founded in 1993 by Audrey Geisel, the widow of Dr. Seuss. And that's the woman that just passed away a couple of years ago. The company said its mission is to keep the late author's legacy alive through partnerships that include films, TV shows, stage productions, and merchandise. He died in 1991. So, yeah, it's been 30 years since he passed away. Several booksellers Tuesday said they have no plans to remove any Dr. Seuss titles for sale. So that's good. Cass Moskowitz, the assistant manager at Books of Wonder in New York City, said we have several shelves of Dr. Seuss books and have no plans to remove them. If the depictions aren't great, sometimes things have to be retired for a reason. We learn and grow as a society, said the chief operating officer of R.J. Julia Booksellers, a bookstore based in Madison, Connecticut. And they said further, quote, we understand the issues out there, but we will have the books in stock. We have no plans to drop any of the titles. By the way, some of these books are selling for hundreds, if not over $1,000 at this point. So they may be fairly rare. Now they may be in higher demand than ever. Interestingly, yesterday my roommate came down and showed me. I had not heard about this controversy until he came and showed me the top books that were selling on Amazon yesterday, and I haven't checked them for today, were all Dr. Seuss.
I was born in 1970, and so my perspective on a lot of this might be different than younger people nowadays and, you know, politically correct people, but like, we were just kids, and these books, like, I learned to read all Dr. Seuss. And, like, everybody had them, and people's moms would have them, and we would trade them, like, baseball cards. And I really feel like it's just kind of a sad day for humanity when we're going to take children's books and super analyze them and find this little obscure thing that could be magnified and something that I don't really believe that the intention was there for. And I just, I've got a 9-year-old and I try to shield them from all this kind of stuff. And I just feel, I really don't like the road that, things are going down. I just kind of weep for humanity when I see things like this.
Yeah, it's disturbing, it's sad, and it's yet another example of how a creator, right? Dr. Seuss was a creator. He created all kinds of wonderful stories for people.
Nobody ever talks about Generation X, and like, we're slowly being deleted from history, and we were actually the last kids who came home. I walked to school.
I've got to say, I've never heard anybody claim that Generation X is being deleted from history.
Well, you just did.
Well, a lot of the things that we grew up with are being deleted from history, mm-hmm. like Looney Tunes. A lot of Looney Tunes is gone.
We walked home from school when I was in first grade. I walked home from school. I was a latchkey kid. Like, I had a key on a leather rope, and I walked to school on my own.
I did too.
Let myself in on my own in first grade. Now, if you did that, you would totally, like, you know, tanks and helicopter, you know. But, like, our generation, we're like kind of the last of the real Americans who were rooted in, I don't know, that 1950s bliss or something. But, and I just see this whole Dr. Seuss thing is something that's just like deleting more of us.
I'm so glad to finally have closure. This has been like a spiritual last few days, because I've been a racist person with hatred in my heart my entire life, and I always wondered why am I like this? But the truth was, I wasn't only read the more popular Dr. Seuss books when I was just a young child. I was read the worst six of his books over and over again. And now I know why I am like I am.
So going on here with Vox.com, they say that Dr. Seuss Enterprises, again, has ceased publishing six of these books. Notably, in If I Ran the Zoo, the narrator declares his intention to put a chieftain, illustrated as a man in a turban, on display in the zoo. A pair of African characters are portrayed as monkeys, and a group of Asian characters are described as, quote, helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant, from countries no one can spell, unquote, carry a caged animal on their heads, the Asian characters. The other books contain similar Orientalist caricatures. Other questionable imagery runs throughout Seuss's work, including some of his most beloved classics. And outside of his children's books, in his career as a political cartoonist and advertiser, Seuss frequently drew racist caricatures and used racial slurs in his captions. So as the children's literature community grapples with how to make its canon more diverse and inclusive, Dr. Seuss has come in for particular reexamination. These books have become a case study of sorts for what to do with brand name authors as the social context surrounding their work shifts. Or more specifically, what do you do with a set of adored classics that explicitly promotes values like tolerance and love for everyone, but are also seeded through with racist ideas? So is it racism to, you know, have Orientalist caricatures? So the text says, I'll go to the African island of Yerka and bring back a tizzle-topped, tufted mazurka, a kind of canary with quite a tall throat. His neck is so long, if he swallows an oat for breakfast the first day of April, they say it has to go down such a very long way that it gets to his stomach the 15th of May. So this book is about all the weird things that the author would put in his zoo, right? If I ran the zoo, I'd go and get an African tufted mazurka from the island of Yerka, which I'm pretty sure doesn't exist. That's a fantasy island. And so this,
the plane, boss, the plane.
The bird doesn't exist either. It is essentially a bird that has a throat, you know, longer than a giraffe. It's very long. It's being carried by two characters that are supposedly the offensive characters here. And they definitely appear to be drawn as monkeys. Okay, I'll give it that.
To me, they look just like the Whos. Wait, not the Whos, the things that live on the... In Horton Hears a Who? Okay. Yeah, the Whos.
It's been a while since I've read it.
They look like the Whos. Like, they look like other things I've seen in Dr. Seuss, but they don't specifically say in the book that they're supposed to be humans. They could be just like little things.
They could be other creatures from the fictional African island of Yerka. Now, I could see why some people who are looking to be offended could find this offensive.
I know somebody would offend.
Well, of course there's going to be somebody out there who would be offended by this.
I mean, just about anything you can find, somebody's going to be offended by.
Yeah.
Why are you offended that people are canceling Dr. Seuss?
Because, well, Dr. Seuss, I don't think, at least in the case of his children's books, I don't see this as in you know, as racist, at least what I've seen so far here. Now, I understand why people are saying what they're saying about the two allegedly African characters, but it's not clear that these are supposed to be humans in this particular.
Yeah, I mean, they may well be monkeys that look like monkeys, in which case
they're just monkeys.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Now their hair is done up kind of funny. So to describe it better, the hair of the monkey looking characters is tied upwards. It's sort of on top of their heads and maybe like a African villager way or something like that. I mean, it's just unusual. They're just strange looking characters in what is ultimately a very strange book. I mean, Dr. Seuss had some weird characters, right? They had a weird art style. And to say that this is supposed to be an insult towards all Africans is, I think, ridiculous. He doesn't actually insult them in any way in the text. There's not even a mention of these two characters. The only character that's talked about in this text on this page is this tuzzle-tupped, tufted mazurka.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I am not impressed with what these people are saying about these images so far.
I remain unoffended.
Yeah, I'm not offended. Now, I'm not black. I'm not, you know, Asian. And supposedly those are two groups that were so, or, you know, should be so offended, at least according to the National Education Association, the teachers union, who decided they were going to break up with Dr. Seuss Enterprises back in 2018. And so we were speculating that maybe Dr. Seuss Enterprises is trying to curry favor with the National Education Association to try to rekindle their relationship, which, of course, resulted in a lot of business for Dr. Seuss Enterprises.
Although it seems like they just didn't want to continue using his work because he's white.
That could be.
I mean, they said they were going to go with only authors of color is what I recall their quote being.
That is what the story here says at Vox.com.
He obviously was an author of colorlessness. So,
though he was Jewish, apparently.
Oh, they're anti-Semites. The NEA is a bunch of anti-Semites.
One of my cousins posted a meme today saying basically, quote, "We should deal with rap lyrics before we attack Dr. Seuss." And I was kind of like, wait. Like, are you trying to say that more restrictions would be a better idea? And they didn't really reply to me, but these are the same family members who, and I agree with them on this point only, the same family members who believe that cake shops shouldn't be compelled to sell cakes to gay couples. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be compelled to sell anything to anybody.
So the same people that don't want to compel people to sell a cake also want to ban rap lyrics?
Censor them?
Yeah.
So they're right wingers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So obviously my beef is with the restrictions, not about, you know, and having the freedom to do business as an individual pleases, not about gay people, but, you know, just so I'm explicit about that.
I feel the same way. I think that if a bunch of kids are like, we don't like this and we don't want to read this, then I don't care about that at all. In fact, I don't care if nobody ever wants to read Dr. Seuss again.
But this isn't kids making this choice.
That's what I'm saying, but it's not the kids making this choice. It's the government deciding what they read, which is weird.
This started a few years ago. You know, if you remember, the president's wife, you know, our first lady was reading Dr. Seuss and sent it out to the schools, and they, you know, said that the one teacher said it was racist, if you remember, and sent the books back to the White House.
I don't remember, no. I don't pay much attention to what these presidents do.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
Which president's wife was it?
Well, that was Melania Trump.
Okay.
She mailed them out to the school, and the school librarian ended up mailing them back to the White House, saying that the books Dr. Seuss was racist. And then they put up pictures of her, of course, the librarian, in a Dr. Seuss outfit reading to the kids that she had done the year before. So, of course, you know, hypocrites. Mm-hmm. But someone mentioned systemic racism, and I think that term's thrown around a lot. But, you know, systemic racism refers to the law. You know what I mean? It refers to, like, Jim Crow laws and things like that.
Right.
We don't have a lot of laws that are systemic racist left in the United States, if we have any.
Yeah, the only ones I can think of are the extraordinary penalties for crack cocaine that Joe Biden pushed through.
The federal government's supposed to provide from the defense of the country, coin money, and do international, you know, trade and things like that. How we've enabled them to do all these things at all these levels is on us.
Yeah,
really.
I don't think they should do anything. They should just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make America states again.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, you said, you know, it's okay to ban Hitler stuff from being sold. And, of course, everyone hates Hitler, and they should, you know, him and all the other monsters.
I didn't. That's not what I said. I said I could understand what eBay decided they wanted to do as their own policy on their own website. I could see drawing that line as a private company, but no, I would not advocate for anything being banned.
Oh, ever. Yeah. Well, then that's good then.
Yeah.
I misunderstood that.
Hey, thanks, Nikki. Go ahead. Anything else?
Yeah, you got it. Well, just only that, you know, we can find racism anywhere by drawing a bullseye, you know, around our dart. We throw the dart against the wall and draw a bullseye. We can do that with anything. If you look for it and you want to believe something's racist, you can just believe it's racist, and then you just fill in the gaps with what you see. That doesn't prove anything Dr. Seuss did is racist.
There's some stereotyping here. Like with the Asian men that are in a frame from If I Ran the Zoo, there's the page about the Zamba Matant Mountains, where with helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant and capture a fine fluffy bird called the bustard. So this is a pretty big bird here that they've got in this cage, and the Asian men are walking with the cage on their head. They're helping carry this animal from capture to wherever it's being carried, I presume, to the zoo. But how are you supposed to draw Asians if not with slanted eyes?
I think the issue there is more of the text.
The text?
Because if they just had slanted eyes, that would not be like an issue to anybody.
To simply point out that Asians have slanted eyes?
I'm not saying it's racist. I can see it being like something if I was Asian, I wouldn't really want, like, I would feel weird if I had to be in a class and I had to read this stupid book.
Would you, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean.
And I know an Asian person that would.
Well, the question is, are there Asian people who don't give a damn about, you know, people talking about how they have slanted eyes? It's not talking down about somebody to describe what they look like.
I was trying to find the name of someone in history who was tried and found guilty of not maintaining their oath to the Constitution.
Hmm.
And they took office. They took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Against enemies, foreign and domestic. And I can't find anyone. I tried to find it, but maybe you guys could help me out.
It probably hasn't happened often. I mean, the government gang almost never goes after their own guys. And when they do go after their own guys, it's usually not for a violation of their oath. It's usually for, like, you know,
keeping their oath.
Well,
like Snowden.
Well, there is that. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But as far as, like, people actually being criminally prosecuted for, you know, like cops or whatever, sometimes they go after their own for, you know, raping children, but only in the most egregious of cases where they actually get caught. But in those cases, they're not violating their oath per se, although I guess maybe they are. They're committing crimes. But
are you talking about a specific person you know of and you want to remember their name, or are
No, he's asking for anything. We were discussing a frame from McGilligot's Pool, which is not racism. It is not. It's described as a racist depiction of Inuits. And there's nothing racist about this. It's a. It's an image of an Eskimo. Again, that's supposedly racist or supposedly offensive. It's not racist. It's just a supposedly offensive. An Inuit person who is in the cold, in a very cold place. They're on like a river or something like that, and there's a lot of icebergs around, and there's little fish with what appear to be fur coats on as they're traveling to McGilligot's Pool. And the line in the book says, "Some Eskimo fish from beyond Hudson Bay might decide to swim down, might be headed this way. It's a pretty long trip, but they might, and they may." Where is the racism? Where is the offensiveness? If somebody uses the term Eskimo without knowing that it is supposedly offensive, it's not racism.
The weirdest part about this is I tried to Google like just any answer about why Eskimo is offensive, because I had kind of heard of this before, but I never knew the answer, and I couldn't find anything. Like, one thing said it means the type of shoes, like snowshoes, they wear.
There's a difference between being sort of insensitive without knowing and being racist. There's a gulf of a difference there.
Right? Yeah. As far as Dr. Seuss, it sounds like he wasn't trying to be racist because back then probably
called
only said
Eskimos.
Yeah. And I don't know the whole thing about, you know, declaring a term to be out of date in 1980. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you know, this book was written long before 1980,
right.
So apparently the term was still fresh then. It hadn't gone bad. They should have left it alone.
And so now you've got companies like the makers of Eskimo pies changing the name of the Eskimo pie.
Well, because it doesn't have any raw meat in it.
That much is true. But for how many decades was this frozen treat labeled the Eskimo pie? And now, all of a sudden, now this needs to stop. Now they're concerned with what the Eskimos think, you know, of this product. I mean, it's not like the Eskimos are eating
It's not
Eskimo
very intuitive,
pie.
Is it?
you're not going to find large Eskimo pie sales in, you know, the northern hemisphere, the northernmost portion of the hemisphere. It's cold there. They're probably not a big selling product. Dr. Seuss did apparently have a racist past. And according to Vox.com, he drew advertisements for Flit insecticide many years ago. And there was one of them that used the N-word, apparently, in the advertisement. I tried to find that particular image. I wanted to see what the image looked like. I wasn't able to find that image in particular, but I did find another cartoon by Dr. Seuss. It's signed by him. It's his art style that's being preserved by some art group out there. But it is another cartoon where he uses the N-word in definitely a racist manner, for sure. But this is likely one of his older cartoons. His cartooning that he did with Flit was a very, very long time ago. Remember, he died. Wasn't he in his 80s when he died?
He was 87 in 1991.
Yeah, 87 in 1991. So
wait, sorry. His wife died at 87, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, we don't know how old he was. We could pull that up here.
Let's find out what year he was born.
Yeah, I suspect it was pretty early on in the 20th century. So anyway, people are not looking closely at this. According to, 1904, born in Springfield, Massachusetts, just an hour and a half south of here.
So how old was he when he died?
He I'm not sure, doing the math here, but yeah, he was definitely
he would have been in his 80s. Somebody once asked me, you know, what I would say to Malcolm X if I ran into him before his conversion in Mecca, and he'd say, I hate your kind, white devil. And I said, well, my response would probably be, I can see how you would.
But then you could hopefully have a conversation and explain why it's not right to hate someone's kind over the actions of some people. And he came to the conclusion that he was wrong when he went on the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca.
And he saw people of all races working together.
That's right.
You know, and something that America, unfortunately, had failed to show him.
And that was, and that was all it took. Just that one experience to take somebody who was one of the most well-known, you know, racists at the time and flip him.
Yeah.
And isn't that when the CIA killed him, too, or something?
Well, FBI's.
Yeah, well, he was killed pretty quickly after that. And Martin Luther King as well, interestingly enough, one of the last things he did before he was killed was he started a campaign that, instead of being racially based, was based on trying to help poor people of all colors. And it seems like that was something that was unacceptable to the U.S. government, to have people reaching across racial lines.
I'm calling you to follow through on what I called you last week about the IRS. I admit, it's painful for me to admit, but I am a coward. I knuckled under. I paid the IRS. I forwarded a check to them today. Or should I say I was coerced and intimidated into paying the IRS? Now, let me my rationale was. Of course, I did not want to pay them, but after speaking to a very skilled financial advisor, this is my options. If I did not, he said, I guarantee you that they will drain your bank account, or they will cut off like a water tap. They'll just shut off your credit. So the point of my call tonight is, yes, I knuckled under. If millions of Americans stood their ground, millions, maybe something could be done. The IRS is using, but this is what I can do. I want your listeners to know that the IRS is using threats and strong-arm tactics to shake down their victims into extorting money out of them. That's what it is. The IRS is no different than the mafia or a loan shark who threatens or coerces their victims into making immediate payments, or else they will break your legs or blow up your store.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.